Welcome to Abundant Living. Your hosts, Bello CQ and Cassandra Lee, the power couple. Hello and welcome to the Abundant Living Show with your hosts, the power couple. I'm Cassandra Lee.
I'm Paolo CQ.
And together we are the power couple. And we're excited to be here, guys, with you today. This is episode number one, and we're going to talk to you a little bit about who we are and what to expect in the upcoming episodes. Again, we're excited to have you all here, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And let's have a good time. Well, we're the power couple, and I'm pretty sure you guys are like, why do you guys call yourselves the power couple? Well, it was a nickname that was given to us. You know, we used to work together at a martial arts school where we would, teach martial arts, obviously. But we would tag team it very well. And, one day somebody came up to us and was like, man, you guys are just so great together, you know? And they gave us the nickname of the power couple. So that's kind of how we got the nickname. But let's talk a little bit more about, you know, who we are and what we do and the purpose of this radio show. So, I met my husband and he wanted to learn how to do martial arts and I was the instructor. And, you know, when he came, he didn't expect me to be the teacher, right? You want to kind of talk about your experience walking into that school?
Yeah, I'll never forget this, guys. I mean, sometimes I believe that, you know, whenever we find out we can't do something or we feel like as if our life can be in danger, right? In this case, if we don't learn something, sometimes in those moments of just feeling frustrated and angry and upset, we sometimes end up running into stuff, right? Or we just end up looking and searching for something deeper, right? Something that can meet that need at the time, right? And it's funny because I didn't think that by going to a martial arts school, not only was I going to learn how to fight, I was going to find my wife, and I was also going to find God, right? And it's funny because it all started because I got into a fight. You know, I was probably at one of my lowest points in my life, and I fought somebody, and, you know, nobody won. But what that did, it made me want to say, damn, what if this guy knew how to fight? He probably kicked my butt, you know? And I said to myself, damn, I need to learn how to fight. And that kind of set me into the motion of looking and searching for something eventually that was going to be God, right? And in doing so, I actually walked into the school, and I'll never forget this. I remember seeing my wife there teaching class, and they had a bunch of little kids there, and they were playing some type of game, like a zap game, like zap, 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 right? They were kind of giving each other the energy or whatever. And I looked at her, and I said, damn, she is a beautiful woman, right? And I said, I didn't say girl, woman, right? Because she had this, like, her appearance, her aura, just her being, right? Her being was just like, she just knew who she was. She was confident, and she knew where she was going in life. And I just immediately just took myself out of her league. I was like, there's no way I can be with her. I guess I'm just going to enjoy my time watching her from over here. And when I saw her, you know, she came up to me. I was a little awkward. I'm actually weird. I'm a weird guy. And now that I've been married to her, now that I married her, right, you know, she's really, really cool. So now I kind of picked up on her personality. So I'm not just weird anymore. Now I'm weird and cool. And, she went to go try to shake my hand. And I put this voice on. I was like, I was putting such a front, right? Because let's face it, guys, you know, it's not until you find Christ that you find what your true identity is, because your identity is in God, right? And all of us, I believe, have a piece of God in us, right? And, I was putting up this front. I was like, you know, what's good? Like, you know, I don't know. I just, I just finished, like, touching my feet, you know what I'm saying? And, yeah, and I was just, it was so, man, I look back at that, I'm like, oh, my goodness, what was I thinking, right? And some of us, sometimes, we kind of look back at our life, and we say, wow, man, it's crazy how we were living without God. Well, anyways, I met her, and, you know, she told me that she was going to be the one teaching me classes, and I just couldn't get it. I was like, hold up, you're going to be teaching me classes? And I didn't want to be submissive, right? I didn't want to submit to an authority that was actually going to give me what I want. And I didn't realize that not only was I like that in real life, but I was like that in general. And I felt like God used my wife to really break me down, to really help me put the ego aside, humble me in preparation for what I was going to receive, which was, you know, my Lord and Savior, right? Jesus Christ, right? I met him there. So, babe, go ahead. Why don't you just, you know, talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so funny how God will just orchestrate everything to the T. You know, when I met him, you know, I always had this, I don't know, I just saw something in him. And I can't really pinpoint what it was at the time, but now I do today. And, you know, I offered him and his friend to be a part of my leadership team, which is, you know, learning how to become an instructor and run the school with me. And they agreed and everything. And I just always had this natural response to lead with Christ first, you know? I would lead my team, but I would always lead with the opportunity of you know, introducing Christ. And so I invited them to church, and, you know, I know that everyone's depiction of church isn't always, you know, what they expect. So it's always kind of like, you know, they just imagine this boring place of worship, you know. And I was like, you know, you guys should come to church with me. It's not what you think, you know. It's not what you think. Just come, give it a try, you know. And I finally got them to come to church for the very first time. And, you know, I was just coming back to Christ. I don't know if anyone here can relate, but I was the one who grew up in the church, and I constantly, you know, wrote my prayers like in a journal. And one of the things that I always prayed about was my husband, my future husband. I always prayed about him since I was a child. Like I'm going back, like, you know, middle school. And I would pray, you know, and I would say, Lord, prepare my husband for me, you know, and prepare me to be the wife for him. And I believe it's because of those prayers that we were able to connect so rapidly and develop the relationship we have today. Because I had ran from Christ that year prior to meeting him. And I was just getting my worship on. I was just getting my groove back with God. And I started going to a church, and I said, hey, why don't you guys come to church with me? So he came. And what was that experience, babe? You coming into the church for the very first time, and experiencing it the way that you've never experienced before.
Yeah, well, you know, it wasn't my first time going to church. I had previously gone to, you know, my parents try the whole Catholic thing for a couple of years. But I never really took it serious, right? And I really couldn't understand I'm not sure what they call them, right? The pastor, the bishop. I don't know what Catholic people call them, right?
I'm pretty sure it's like the priest.
The priest, there we go, the priest, right? And I never really understood it. So I really have a very vague, a very vague picture of how that was. But I kind of thought that that's how church was. You know, this big place and, you know, this, you know, somebody playing the piano and then like,
the organ.
The organs, right? And, you know, when I went there, when I stepped into that, you know, I saw a bunch of people, regular people, average people that were in just, you know, that just normal people. I mean, some of them weren't even dressed up the way normally when people, you know, when I thought I was going to church, I dressed up. I put on this suit. I put this button up. You know, I was looking good. You know, I got a haircut even for church, right? Because, you know, my perception about, you know, I perceive church to be a certain way. And the only way to step into church is if you look the part, right? And that's probably one of the reasons why I struggled going to church, because I thought that I needed to conform in order to be accepted. And that wasn't the case when I stepped into this church. And when I did, you know, I immediately, I'll never forget this, you know, like it was yesterday. I was wearing a green button up. My button up was tucked in. I was wearing some dress pants, some slacks, and some dress shoes, and I had a nice haircut. And, you know, as soon as the music started playing, man, you know, I just got pierced, man. You know, I got touched, and I didn't know what it was at the time, but I know it was God now. And I just got consumed by his love, man. And I'll never forget this. You know, that was the beginning of my whole life just changing for the better. It was the beginning of really uncovering and peeling off the layers of who God had really made me to be.
And at that point, you know, that's when I began to see him evolve. And, you know, something just began to line up from that moment forward. I knew I was attracted to him. I knew I had feelings for him. But I didn't know what would it be. You know, I didn't bring him to church because I wanted to, like, you know, get him saved so I can date him. You know, I wasn't at all thinking about that. Again, remember, I was just coming back into the church. So spirituality was not really, like, my main focus. It was just, you know, I don't know. It was just a natural thing for me to bring him to church because I've always been that type of evangelist since I was a kid. And, you know, once I saw him receiving, you know, Christ as his Lord and Savior, he gets baptized, you know, and my relationship with Christ begins to increase, you know, things just began to line up. And we began to find that his passion, right, or the gift that God has placed in him was very similar to the gift that God has placed in me. And one of the quotes I like a lot is that every man with a big dream needs a woman with vision. And sometimes, you know, God will place a big dream in a man and won't birth it until the woman is there, right? The vision of the woman is there. And, you know, it was just God just lined it up so well where the gift that God had placed in him and the gifts that he placed in me, it just lined up where we were able to explode, right? And I always understood that, you know, I would always look at the Bible and read it as a kid. And I would say, Lord, I want a husband like the Bible speaks of. I want to be the wife like the Bible speaks of. And, you know, the man is supposed to be the head of the relationship and the woman is the neck. And the head cannot go anywhere without the neck, right? So we play very key, important roles. But once we began to date and the Lord was just leading us on, our vision for his kingdom began to increase. And so we kind of want to share that vision with you guys here today. Because the purpose of this radio show is to create you know, a movement of believers. We want to be able to speak life into you and into you guys, and at the same time, we want to be able to lock arms with a group of believers and make this world a better place, right? We want to build the body of Christ. We want to have this radio show come to where it can be a place where you guys can come and listen and get fed. And also, if you want, to tag along on the movement that is being created today. And so let's talk about that vision, babe. Let's talk about that vision that we're trying to create here. We want to create the wealthiest group of believers. And the reason is so that we all can use that wealth and that influence to build the body of Christ and spread it like a wildfire. We want to be able to allow our gifts that God has given us to reach the masses on a bigger scale. That is our vision. Our vision is to do that, whether your gift is monetarily, whether your gift is with an actual skill set, whatever it is, you know what your gifts are. And if you don't know, hopefully through these episodes on this radio show, you can begin to unveil your eyes so you can see what God has called you to do. But our vision is to create the wealthiest group of believers out there so we can go ahead and make a difference for the kingdom of God.
Absolutely. That's well put. You know, I believe, this is what I believe, right? I believe that, you know, it's our responsibility to get rich. Okay, I'm going to just be honest with you, right? And I'm just going to be straight up, and here's the reason why I believe that. Because I believe that when we acquire wealth and when we are living in abundance, right, I believe that God can probably work through us, even on a bigger scale, right? Because let's face it, right? If God wants us to do something, right? Not just pray, not just do a lot of the things that in the spirit, which is great, which is awesome. But if God wants us to move something, to become movers and shakers, to create something, right? To do something that requires physical, labor and for us to put up some type of investment or money out there, right? It's not going to happen if we don't have money, right? It's not going to happen if we don't have wealth. And I believe that's what our responsibility is. You know, I'll go even as far as saying this, right? That even if you believe that you're called not to be an entrepreneur or a business owner, which is totally fine, right? You just believe that you're doing your own ministry at where you're working at. It does not mean that you can't get rich. It doesn't mean that, right? Because there's people actually who've gotten rich, you know, just saving up and just being mindful with where their money goes so they can use that money, right? But in this case, a bunch of believers with the same message, which is to spread the word of God, to spread the gospel, come together and can do it on a massive scale, not just through prayer, not just through spiritual, right? But also, you know, putting our money together to do something bigger than we could have ever done if we didn't do it together, right? Because I believe that being united is sometimes better than being right.
Absolutely. You know, if time and money were not an issue, how would you live your life? And a lot of you would say, you know, I would do ministry, you know, or I would use my gifting and do what I am passionate about to spread the love of Jesus. You know, whatever it is, whatever your answer is, what if we can help you do that? That's our vision. Our vision is to do that. You see, one day we want to be able to travel and go to, the poor side of where we're traveling to. Let's say we go to, Africa or Italy or wherever we want to go, right? And we just visit an area where there's lack. We want to fulfill that lack. And I want to give you an example. My husband and I, for our honeymoon, we went to Dominican Republic. And we took this excursion and we rode ATVs. Remember that, babe?
Yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah. So we went on these quads and, we saw this tour guide and he took us to the village. And so we start driving around and we see these kids and we recorded it and these kids come up and they go money, 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 right?
Money, 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 money.
And dinero, dinero, right? So they're asking for money and I was ready to give some, but then the whole freaking village came out and started asking for money and I didn't have enough bills. I only had big ones. So I was like, I can't give to everyone. They start asking me for my wedding ring, right? They start asking us, they start jumping on the ATVs and start trying to ride with us. So I'm like, you know what? Let's stop right here. Let's get off. And we get all the kids together and we start asking them, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to do? And, you know, some of these kids are saying, you know, I want to act. I want to be in movies. You know, if you had all the money in the world, what would you do with it? We start asking them all these questions just to see where their thinking was. And a lot of it was that their dreams were fantasies because they knew they couldn't accomplish it. And I felt so hurt by that. And I said, you know, what if we can, you know, make something happen here? And by the end of the conversation, we start telling them about Jesus and how if they put God first and his righteousness, everything can be added unto them. And that God wants them to fulfill hope, their passion. God wants them to do those things. And if they just focus on Christ, that there's a way to do that. And so we have them put their hands in and we say, uno, dos, tres, Jesus, right? And they all yell it with us. And at the end, we leave, they start blowing kisses to us. And immediately, something was sparked in me. And I said, what if we can go to these places and we can, you know, have a workshop where we do acting for those who love to act. And we film a movie there and premiere it there for them. And people who love to be cameramen can learn how to hold a camera, how to work a camera. People who love to do art can learn how to do art. People who love to sing can sing. People who love numbers and want to learn how to do like accounting or how to save money. People who want to learn about business, you know, just different skills and gifts that these kids have. What if we taught it to them and then had them perform it at the end of our stay? What if we could not only give them material things, but give them hope and life, saying that they can pursue their passions and do it for the glory of God? And they can make money doing it, right? They can do it. Because I believe that a lot of us, you know, we sacrifice our passions so we can go work a job so we can survive and pay bills. But what if there's a way that we can have the time freedom and financial freedom to do the passions that we are born with, that we love? And so this vision began to be created. But we know we can't do it ourselves. We don't have all the gifts in the world. We know that we need to lock arms with a whole bunch of other believers who have giftings in these areas so we can go out and make a difference in the world and build the body of Christ, all while using his ministry, being the light and the salt to the earth, using it as a way to say, hey, these gifts were given to you by God, and they're there to build his kingdom. And we want to do it with you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Man, that's really awesome, guys. And, you know, we need you, right? Let's lock arms, right? And let's do this together, man. Let's make a difference in this world. Let's change this world, right? And let's infect it with the love of God, with the love of Jesus, right? Because at the end of the day, guys, we know how important that is. We know that at the end of the day, here's what I wanted to talk about, right? I just came back to my mind, which is, you know, our vision for Power Quantum, which happens to be our company's name, is to help people liberate themselves from the grip of money, right? Because I believe sometimes money has us in shackles, right? That, like my wife said, we're just constantly thinking about how to survive, how to pay this, how to borrow money from Paul to pay George, and you know, it just keeps going
Peter
on.
Peter
to pay Paul and stuff, right? And you know, what if, you know, all of that was taken care of, and you have all the time in the world to focus on what really matters and to start asking yourself questions like, God, why am I here? What are my gifts? What's my purpose? You know, some of you guys are probably at that point where you're kind of asking, you're kind of not sure. And and some of you guys know what your skill sets and your gifts are, which is great, right? But I mean, let's face it, if we're just bound on trying to survive, trying to get by, how are we ever going to impact this world and help other people if we don't step out of that and step into what we were destined to do? How are we ever going to do that, right? How are we ever going to be able to do that, right? And I believe, right, that God, Jesus Christ, right, that it wouldn't be fair to everybody in this world if we didn't step up and decided to be the best version of us, right? Because I believe that myself personally, that I'm still operating as such a fraction of what I'm truly meant to be. And I'm just constantly wanting to challenge me, constantly challenging each other to get to that next level, because we know at the next level, we're going to have more influence and we're going to be able to impact more people just like that. And guess what? You have the same opportunity. We both have the same 24 hours, and we both can do this together. So let's lock arms, right? Let's do this together. Let's not just establish time freedom and financial freedom, but let's go out there and let's use our gifts, let's use our money, and let's infect people with the love of Christ.
Absolutely, guys. It is time to have the abundant living and help others have abundant living as well. This is the Abundant Living Show. And we are
the Power Couple. And we love you.